Welcome to Chris Cast, episode 31. Is what all of my friends are saying to me about the elections on Tuesday. I'm going to talk about the crazy things that all my friends are saying and try to frame them up, try to understand them, try to think about them. And you'll get my response to them. This is Chris Cast. My name's Chris Abraham. And we'll talk more about this after the commercial break. Welcome to Chris Cast, episode 31. Today it is 1st November 2020. And it is just a couple days away from the elections. And, you know, this isn't a proper Election Tuesday. This is a floating, moving target, broad spectrum election. And if you go back to some earlier episodes, I think, what episode was it? I will look it up while we talk. You'll see that I believe that there's this thing called the Shy Trump vote. And that is episode number 26 on September 23, I think. Anyway, it is this theory that double secretly, people really like the way things are. They like a Western democracy. And by Western democracy, that's code for they secretly think that America is a Western European-based nation. And that is right now being defined as white supremacist America. And that is basically defining America as a country that is based on the moral imperative of Western European Christian mores. Hey Google, what is the definition of more?
Here's the definition of more: a mainly nocturnal eel-like predator.
So a more is a nocturnal eel. Hey Google, what is the definition of more?
Here's the definition of more: a greater or additional amount or degree of.
Well, anyway, more is a fancy French word for if you will, standard, or I can't even look it up because it's not even, Google's not even smart enough. Let's see. Define. I will make it more accent aigu. Let us see what that means. Oh, sorry, mores. Hey Google, what is the definition of social mores?
According to Wikipedia, mores are social norms that are widely observed within a particular society or culture. Mores determine what is considered morally acceptable or unacceptable within any given culture. William Graham Sumner, an early U.S. sociologist, introduced both the terms mores and foques into modern sociology.
So by that definition, we're talking norms and standards. And for whatever reason, it is exerting white blood cells against what it perceives is non-Western influence. And I believe that it's been defined in American culture that that is not okay. It is not okay to say, I do not want to accept Spanish speaking into my America, or I do not want to need to self-edit my speaking or my humor or my beliefs or my morals and dogma based on, let's see, the LGBTQ community, a community that demands that you not assume a pronoun or a gender attribute, a more, a social more that doesn't, that means that everybody needs to really consider what they say before they say it, because they will offend unintentionally. I'm not talking about hate speech where there's a huge intent upon offending. And a good example, which makes me cringe because I'm of that right age group, I'm a Gen X, is, you know, when an uncle or a mother calls a person an Oriental instead of an Asian. But I think that's because I grew up in Hawaii, and in Hawaii, it's always, we don't even call people Asians. We call them by their actual, nationality, or their heredity, or their whatnot. Anyway, and you know, there's any number of other things, right? There's America is not, does not officially have an official language, you know. So as far as I'm concerned, Spanish is a language that I need to speak to someone in my neighborhood without a second thought. I would speak German or French to someone if they spoke French or German. I do not require someone to speak my language, but there are a lot of people who feel cornered in their own definition of what America is, and they feel like that's being taken away from them, but they also feel like it's dangerous to say anything about it, that there is a witch hunt going on against people who are poorly, who aren't woke, who are poorly versed in the current patois of American expression of what you are and aren't allowed to embrace. And this is blowing back. I mean, I hate to say it, but I always describe the entire world in terms of the frog in the cold pan. And right now, in over the last, I think since 2008, 2008. Since 2008, since Obama was elected, I believe that was amazing for America. But I think that turned up the heat in the pan of the right, and it too quickly, and it forced them to become extreme. And probably not even for blackness, just in terms of a perceived liberal agenda. And then 16 turned up the water too high for the left, who thought that things were progressing in a very, they were progressing. My goodness, the 8 years that Obama was in office, so many progressive and liberal things that in Hawaii are taken for granted were imposed upon a country that I don't know if it happened slowly enough. I don't know if it was force-fed, or if it was offered and then taken of its own, you know. Of it was, you know, and is that even possible? You know, you might have to force acceptance and then hope that over time it's naturalized or made normalized. But I know that for, you know, I know that when you look at the percentage of people who are transgender and the people who are you know, who are of a gender outside of a man and a woman, these are numbers that are so low that they're, you know, less than 1%, 1% or less of the American public. And I would say that's even less than that. Let's see. Hey, Google, what percentage of the American public is trans?
In Russian, that's
процент американской общественности.
No, I don't want it in Russian. Hey, Google, what percentage of the of Americans are transsexual?
According to Wikipedia, a different survey in 2016 from the Williams Institute estimated that 0.6% of US adults identify as transgender.
So 0.6%, and then statistically 1.2 to 6.8% of the adult population identify as LGBTQ. So making extreme making ex making laws and statutes and hate crimes and standards and et cetera, across the board through presidential declaration, it freaked a lot of people out. There are a lot of conservative people who still believe in a God. They still believe in Bible sins. They still believe in traditional gender values and traditional gender roles and all these other things that, I haven't believed in. I never believed in. I mean, I grew up in Hawaii, and in Hawaii we have a concept of the third gender, and the third gender is referred to as mahu, but is basically someone who has the attributes of a man and a woman in one person, and is and has and is attributed to with of having magical qualities or spiritual highly spiritual qualities. And Mahu are very well, at least amongst more traditional Hawaiian and more traditional multi-generational Hawaiian residents. Mahus dressed as women, oftentimes in celebratory gowns, are featured members of parades in Hawaii, on palominos in beautiful dresses. It's not a cross-dressing thing. It's very literally a genetic man living the life as a beautiful woman. And growing up, I always noticed that the mahus in the society, I guess maybe to compensate for the fact that they were born as men in men's bodies, they weren't born as men, but they were born in men's bodies, tend to accentuate their feminine wiles more substantially than anybody I ever saw in Hawaii. Because, I think Hawaii, is a real beachy place and is a real active place. So Hawaii has more than its share of tomboys. And so, and wearing flip-flops, the joke is like, local girls don't know how to dress in heels, but mahus definitely do. So I think in response to all these quick changes, and I think that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to freak out, no matter what, right? No matter what. And I think, like I was saying in the shy Trump vote, and the fact that there probably are a lot of people who would never publicly admit to anybody in their life that they are, and they might not even be Republican. They might be historically Democrat, but they don't like the idea of looting. They don't like the idea of insecurity. They've thought about guns. They've thought about the behaviors of people in the streets, let's call them Antifa or whatever, who are, who are tearing things down and burning things up. And then they're thinking about their future. They're thinking, well, I like living in a Western democracy that's based on capitalism and based on, no matter how unfair it is, the fruits of my labor and the access to Walmart and the access to pumpkin spice lattes and an opportunity to go to college and just in terms of just plain familiarity. And when it comes to extremely selfish decisions, such as preserving one's life as one knows it and trying to avoid any type of big societal flare-up, such as a civil war or such as a revolution or as such as a, oh, I was really excited. I didn't include this in yesterday's podcast, but I wanted to call the beginning of the Cold Civil War that happened with the Women's March after Trump was elected as, get this one, a coup de ma. A coup de ma instead of a coup d'etat, where ma is mother, as in a woman. And if you have to explain it, Chris, it's not funny. So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to virtue signal one way and are going to say, well, I do not want a new definition of family vis-a-vis Black Lives Matter's website, or a new definition of commerce vis-a-vis I am afraid that the future will be socialist or Marxist or communist, and that scares me because I've been trained to be afraid of commies or whatnot. So, and then let's take a break, okay? I'll be right back. Welcome back to Chris Cast. My name's Chris Abraham. It's episode 31. It is 1 November. We're a couple days away from the elections. And hey Google, how many people have voted already in the election?
I found some news about that. Here's the latest from CNN.
Pre-election day votes surpasses two-thirds of all 2016 ballots cast. CNN, with just 3 days until election day, pre-election voting has now surpassed two-thirds of all ballots cast during the 2016 presidential election. More than 91.6 million Americans have voted so far, as a majority of states are reporting record early voting turnout in the 2020 election. While it's too soon to know how that record turnout will translate to election day, the massive early voting numbers suggest a high level of enthusiasm for voting this year, despite the obstacles of a pandemic.
I sent that article and two others to your phone. Do you want me to read the first one?
No. 91.6 million Americans have voted already. And so then people are voting every day now in most states, and they'll be voting through to the end of voting on Tuesday. And then, because of various and sundry lawsuits, votes will be counted for days after. And historically speaking, based on what I've heard, and who knows how viable that is that Democrats tend to feel very comfortable voting by mail, and Republicans have been trained by Trump to not trust mail and only be willing to vote in person, and possibly only on the third. And because of pre-voting and voting during the week and voting absentee and also voting by mail, those are going to break a lot of the barriers in terms of intimidation or any voter type of voter suppression, unless, of course, that's actively done with ballots that are mailed and all these other conspiracy theories. What I wanted to talk about today is I want to talk about how much everybody's freaking out. Like my one friend who's a national reporter moved to is spending the next year in Barbados, and I'm starting to see beautiful photos of him and his kids and his wife Allie. I'm seeing them tra-la-la in Barbados, and my friend my other best friend is stationed in Kuwait. And he's telling me, you know, be careful about what you're saying on your podcast. He told me, you know, you just went ahead and announced yourself as thinking that that Antifa is a bunch of dirtbags, and so watch yourself and carry a gun and stay away from roadblocks, and sent me a video to a bunch of politicos and intelligence contractors who are planning an actual, not a coup d'etat, but an actual coup d'etat from the day of the election, more readily the 4th, 5th, and 6th, where they want to lock down D.C., and they're talking about taking over the White House. So it's crazy balls, man. And my ex-girlfriend, my first girlfriend after college, Stephanie, she is contacting me from an undisclosed German-speaking country, because even though she's kept in touch with me for the last 25 years, she's always been very mysterious and cagey as to where in Australia she lived or where in Europe she lives or if she lives in Europe at all. She's freaking out. She's living not only is she living in a country that's completely locked down, her family mostly lives in Pawcatuck, Connecticut. And you know, like, she's afraid for them. Like, her mom's older. And she's been away from, she's lived elsewhere in the United States for 25 years. And when she comes back here, she doesn't even recognize it. It looks really scruffy to her because she's lived in first world countries for the last 25 years. And we're proudly second world. And that's another thing that it goes back to the shy Trump syndrome, is that Americans are really proud of living in a scruffy, unsophisticated, Wild West kind of backwards, scruffy, dirty. They don't want the kind of government oversight and the kind of nanny state, as they say, or paternalism or maternalism that is required to have a city that runs like a Swiss clock or a Swiss watch or a Swiss train or a German anything. And so as a result, there's a lack of desire, commitment to want to come in from the cold. There's a desire to keep a permanent frontierism into the American way of life, where you can still carry a Colt single action on your hip or two. You can ride a motorcycle with a shotgun openly holstered in a motorcycle side bag. You can, I don't know. And it's not even Christianity. I mean, I know that, was it Hillary Clinton or Obama that said that the right clutches to their to their Bibles and their guns. Well, this is a point of pride. I feel like it's the same kind of pride that my other friend, two of my friends who are part of a spiritualism slash theosophy cult, out in based. They live in California, but they're their leader, who is a student of Sai Baba, like they're complete spiritualists, and they completely believe in a world where you know, there are ascended masters and intent and love energy and all these other things are extremely profound. And if you and while they're also strangely in line with masks and in line with being complete rule followers in terms of the pandemic, which is contradictory to their belief that the world is a manifestation of God love. That said, you know, when you go ahead and you insult people who believe in Santa Claus, and I'll come out, I'm an Episcopalian. I grew up Catholic. I believe in God, in Christ, and Mary. You know, I'm not a humanist at all. I would say that I'm closer to my crazy cult friends in California than I am necessarily into a science-based person who believes that any semblance of God or spirituality is a worship of Sky Daddy or an adult stunted growth where you might have left Santa Claus behind, but you didn't leave Sky Santa or Son of Sky Santa or Mom of Sky Santa or any of those people behind like you should have done when you put away childish things. So these are people who are very proud of their beliefs. They're not ashamed of their beliefs, but they might be secret proud. There's a lot of people who are, I'd say 20% of America is very comfortably on television and on radio and in movies and on television. They're very comfortable mocking a traditional belief system, very comfortable mocking people who believe that they'll be saved, or people that believe that they walk with Christ, or people who believe, you know, it's a lot of the brown people who are expected to vote for Biden are also very traditional people who believe in gender roles and who might be completely traditional and who might believe in, even if there's a modern Catholic reinterpretation of Catholicism that, you know, is almost Santeriac, insofar that God and Jesus and Mary and the Holy Spirit and so forth might be a derivation of local belief systems, like it is in Hawaii or in Haiti or in West Africa. There's still a belief system in a higher power. While there are a lot of humanist Jews who are just culturally Jewish, there still are a lot of spiritual Jews who are traditional and you know, I guess they're called Orthodox, and there are Eastern Orthodox, and there are people who are Hindu in America. There are people who are Roman Catholic, Evangelical, Episcopalian. What's the other term for Episcopalian? Who are African Anglican, the Anglican tradition, which are very conservative compared to very liberal Episcopalianism in this country. In fact, as an Episcopalian, we allow women and people of color, and we allow gladly all of them, and we allow trans people, depending on your parish, and we allow any member of the LGBTQ, and I'm not talking just as parishioners, I'm talking about priests. But then, you know, the Anglicans from Africa constantly want to come over here and convert us back to a godly path. And then you've got Islam, and you've got a lot of Latinos who are very anti, who are extremely anti-abortion, and Islam isn't pro-abortion, and I don't know about Hinduism. But, and so you've got all this going on, and then you've got my friends. I'll tell you about my friends after the break. Hey, welcome back, episode 31, Chris Cast. People are acting really weird, right? I mean, what happens on Tuesday? I'm lucky, I live in a non-metro accessible neighborhood. Hey, Google, how many miles is it to Washington, D.C.?
You are 5.4 miles away from Washington.
So I'm 5.4 miles away from Washington, and to walk there, it'll take an hour and 52 minutes. Hey, Google, how many miles is it to the 14th Street Bridge?
If you walk, 14th Street Bridge is 4.9 miles away.
All right, so under 5 miles away, but 5 miles for you have to take the bus or you have to drive. If you walk, it's 2 hours away. And even then, it's up the hill. It's in Arlington Heights, right? It's up the hill from the Pentagon. You have Crystal City and Pentagon City there, and it's way up the hill up in Arlington Heights. And then, you know, there's nothing here. And they're all, we are all immigrant community. I like to joke that my building is 80% Mongolian, but it's also, you know, 20% Salvadorian. Everybody that I hang out with around my neighborhood is Bangladeshi, Indian, Moroccan, Ethiopian, Nigerian, Kenyan, Salvadorian, Honduran, Mexican, and Mongolian. There's a few people here who are, one guy down the hallway is a white dude with his wife, and she's a mommy blogger. They've got a little kid. There's a blonde woman cop who lives on my floor. I also live on the 8th floor. In a market rate building at the end of a cul-de-sac. So I really am not afraid that the revolution's going to hit here, but the secondary effect will happen. I remember when the pandemic started, the run on toilet paper and the run on this and the run on that. I'm not afraid, but I'm not even afraid of death. So I died already, you know, whatever. And like I said, I believe in all that spooky stuff. So I believe that I don't believe in becoming worm food or any of that kind of stuff. So I'm pretty right by death. I don't even feel any shame or humiliation. I feel a beautiful concept of what sin is, which is missing the mark. It's not some childhood concept of a permanent mark going on your permanent record. Sin isn't points on your license either. So, que sera, sera. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, que sera, sera, what will be. So, on that note, what do you think's going to happen? Like I said, I think there's a pretty good chance that Trump will win, and that the world is going to completely go mental. But even if he loses, everybody's, you know, on the side of Trump will go down fighting in terms of trying to undermine the vote or trying to take it to the Supreme Court or just not get out of the office or do some sort of executive shenanigans or who knows. So everybody is keeping their powder dry. And everybody is itching for a fight. And everybody thinks that they're not the one who's going to start the fight. They are the noble defender of democracy. And so if everybody believes that they're the noble defender of democracy, then there shouldn't be any kind of explosion. Unless, of course, these dirtbag Antifa punks decide to start blowing shit up and exacerbating and manifesting and catalyzing a larger trauma. All I know is that every large to medium city are prepared for riots in the next couple weeks. So that's kind of scary. And I don't know. I guess we just got to see what happens. Just watched the latest episode last night from October 31 of Saturday Night Live. And there's an episode there where Joe Biden, played by... what's his name? Jim Carrey. Does Edgar Allan Poe rewriting of The Raven, where everybody, Joe Biden tries to spin the segment, the skit, as he's going to win, and everybody who comes in rolls dice and basically says that Trump's going to win. So they're hedging their bet, but we'll see. What will be, que sera, sera. Ciao. Talk to you after the break. All right, everyone. Episode 31. It's a wrap. It's November 1, Chris Cast. I'm Chris Abraham. You can reach me at Chris Abraham on Twitter, at Chris Abraham on Instagram, facebook.com/Chris Abraham. On No Agenda Social, I'm at CHRAS. I am chris@abraham.su. You can text me at +1-202-352-5051. Can also call me, but I won't answer if I don't recognize the caller or if we don't have a scheduled call, which you can schedule at calendly.com/chrisabraham/15. And blah, blah, blah. My website is chrisabraham.com. And I am proud that I have my own subreddit. And it's not mine, it's the world's, but I started it. Which is reddit.com/r/slowjogging/. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. Don't forget to subscribe and like or whatever. And then please go to your respective sites and give me good marks and a great review or bad marks and a bad review. And I love you long time. And mahalo nui loa. And aloha kako. And I'll talk to you next time. Let's hope that I can get more of these going because I really enjoy them. And I'll talk to you soon. Ciao.